This festival and concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your first stop for festival style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. Plus, their direct-to-consumer pricing keeps value on your feet and money in your pocket. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and a friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience quite like it. If you can't make it into the store, just visit tecovas.com. That's TECOVAS.com. They offer free shipping on all boots as well as free returns and exchanges. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is another big kahuna of a podcast episode.
And one of the reasons why is because we're taking a lot of information that we've gathered over the years, we're pulling it all together, and we're presenting it to you. So it's sort of unique.
Yes. So on this episode of TFL Talking Trucks podcast, we're going to give you a buyer's guide from our experiences of owning upwards of 13 brand new pickup trucks over the last 3 years.
And there may be a couple bonuses in there as well, but bear in mind, we're not talking about just something that we buy and flip. We're talking about vehicles that we owned in many cases for up to and even over a year.
And when we say we, it's not Nathan and I.
No.
We say TFL Studios.
That's correct.
We have some personal vehicles that we will not be touching on a lot.
That's correct.
Here. This is what TFL has owned, and we've put a lot of miles cumulatively on all these pickups. And we have we wanted to share that experience with you.
Right. And there's a lot to cover, so we're not going to bounce around too much with other topics. We're essentially going to stick with this. But before we do, Andre, should we talk about our Patreon supporters?
Yes, absolutely. We have to, because without you guys, we wouldn't be able to do or buy any of these trucks.
Yeah, little Jimmy wouldn't be able to afford the crutches his own.
Yes. So just very recently, Ty Fox has supported us on patreon.com/TFLcar. So it's a one link /TFLcar for all of our TFL studios.
That's right.
We don't have a special one for truck or off-road.
No, we're too cheap to get one.
Well, we just wanted to have one place, right?
Yeah.
So patreon.com/TFLcar. We recently had a couple of questions or comments, one from David Johnson and also Mark Cooper. So as we move through this, we'll talk a little bit about their questions.
Okay,
well,
fair enough.
So let's rewind the clock about 3 years.
Okay.
And so why 3 years? Well, TFL Truck really has been a channel for more than 10 years now.
Yeah, we're past the 10-year point.
But if we talked about every truck for 10 years, over 10 years, we would be here for hours. So
Yeah. But I can quickly throw in the first truck we officially bought for TFL Studios,
yes.
And that was a Ford Raptor.
Yes, that was the first-gen.
First-gen.
2014 Ford Raptor, which was 9 years ago.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah. So we had other shows focusing on those trucks.
Right.
But we wanted to be a little bit more recent.
Exactly.
So how about we start with this? The Jeep Gladiator 2020. This is the first year of the new Gladiator pickup truck. This is a midsize truck. This was a new entry for Jeep. And of course, we wanted to be, you know, there when it launched.
We were one of the first to get our hands on one. We wanted to get the Rubicon with certain features on it, and we absolutely had a plan with this one right out of the bat. Right off the bat.
Yes.
That we wanted to do some mild modifications using mostly JPP components or Mopar components and make this into what was a usable, everyday, serious off-roader, and I think we managed to do that.
Yeah, and this is important for Jeep, right? Because Stellantis or FCA at that time, they didn't really have a midsize pickup.
No,
of any kind.
No, none whatsoever.
No Ram. No, you know, nothing like that. So this was really important, and this is a lifestyle vehicle, like you said. Rubicon was important to us because we love off-roading. We're in Colorado.
Yeah, and a lot of the videos we do are based around off-roading.
Yes, so we did buy one. We named him Gobi because it was the kind of a Gobi desert color, kind of a sandy color.
And we stuck with that theme throughout the design.
Yeah, and like you said, we didn't want to go too crazy with it because we could have put it on 40s.
We could have gone nuts.
We could have, you know, hemi-swapped it, but it was a 3.6 Pentastar that's still there.
Yes.
To this day. And you know what? I think we've said this before. Using the Jeep Performance Parts lift kit, using Fox shocks and 35s that we put on it, the 35-inch tall tires, it was probably the best modification to any pickup we've ever done.
It is, and the reason why is because it actually drove slightly better. Normally, once you lift a truck or any car vehicle, really, you tend to lose something in doing that. Maybe the comfort, the rides, this handling, or something like that. This vehicle actually drove better in almost every measurable way after we did this mild lift and we beefed up the suspension, put on beefier tires. It drove like it belonged on that vehicle from the get-go, and it was a wonderful build, and we did a great job with it. I was very proud of it.
Yeah, and a lot of the trucks we'll leave alone, and we've discussed this as we move along, and we've modified a few others to various degrees of success, but this, the Gladiator 2020, was our first, you know, really successful project, I would say.
Right, right. And super maybe if they're at the end of this video, we'll talk about some of our least successful builds, maybe, or at least hint to them a little
bit.
Okay,
sure. Yeah.
All right, so let's move on to the next one.
So, so once again, just wrapping up the Gladiator, I would say, because we want this to be kind of a buyer's guide.
Yeah.
I would say it was a really solid truck. No mechanical issues. It doesn't tow super well.
No, it doesn't. And I wanted to mention that, too. I forgot. I think with that setup, it was over 7,000 pounds. We may have lost a little bit by adding that lift, by the way, but I don't know by what. We never actually had an actual calculation of that. But nonetheless, the vehicle itself does tow really well for a Jeep. However, for a pickup truck, not so much. If towing is what you want to do with a midsize truck, there are better trucks out there.
Yeah, and it's not just it's dangerous or unsafe. It's just kind of straining too much.
It just doesn't feel happy, especially with that Pentastar. It just really feels unhappy towing, frankly.
Yeah, and we know there's a diesel option that soon will be discontinued in the Gladiator lineup, the 3-liter turbo diesel. Mm-hmm. But that truck is a little bit better, but it doesn't have a lot of payload, that diesel Gladiator.
Because that diesel's so heavy, it takes away from the payload.
Yeah, and we still don't have any official word on the plug-in Gladiator.
No.
Or by E of any sort.
Which is surprising. I thought that by now they'd have something, but I think maybe COVID has slowed it down.
And also I heard this. There was a recent report that Jeep wanted to focus on the 2024 Wrangler updates that just came out.
Mm-hmm.
And we have many videos from Roman and Tommy and everybody else. And then the Gladiator will come.
Yeah.
You know, the updated Gladiator.
Let's hope so. The sales are still relatively strong. I mean, they've dipped a little bit, but they're still selling. And I really would have bought a Gladiator had they not upped the prices so much to a point to where it was just no longer affordable to get a base model.
Okay. So let's move on to the next project truck and next long-term truck we had, which was the 2020 Ford F-250. That we started calling Super Tremor.
Yes. Now, I consider this truck to be the most successful failure to a certain degree. only because it worked. It worked for what we wanted to do.
Yes.
But I truly believe that if you stuck with what Ford did with their regular, their Tremor, you would be better off than what we did.
So, as we always do, we try to be first, right? You already mentioned it with the Jeep.
Yes.
Here in 2020, Ford had refreshed and updated their Super Duty truck lineup.
Right, but most importantly,
engine.
Yes.
The new engine, the Godzilla. So, we really wanted to jump on the Godzilla engine. This is a 7.3-liter gasoline V8, which was completely redesigned mm-hmm. and kind of overshadowed the 6.2 V8 that they've had for years.
Yes.
In the Ford's heavy-duty trucks. So we had to jump on it. But as with everything, we didn't have a huge budget. Mm-hmm. I mean, we have budgets, but not unlimited budgets.
So we couldn't
actually wait or afford a proper, you know, factory trimmer.
Right.
So we wanted to make our own.
And that is exactly what we did with some partners and with a little bit of finagling. We managed to take this truck that has not, at that point in time, gone through a proper off-road lift with the bigger tires and everything else. And everything else, including
the camper.
Four-wheel camper, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Four-wheel camper in the back.
Which is a full slide-in camper.
Yeah, a full slide-in camper. Yeah. We went and we really built this thing up from being a regular, decent pickup truck to being a really burly, off-road capable pickup truck.
And I think part of the less successful. I love this truck, by the way. I know Roman dislikes it. Maybe you dislike it a little bit.
I'm on the fence about it.
Yeah.
I love and hate it.
And here's what I think. By the way, I was leading a lot of these projects because I'm the managing editor
of the CFL
truck. But I think I was trying to do too much.
Mm-hmm.
Because we worked with Carly Suspensions. And, of course, they have the King shocks that they use with Carly.
Right.
And they can customize their suspension packages for each use case.
Mm-hmm.
So I had two use cases. First, I wanted to have a camper, which is what, you know, one of the reasons for this truck. And also, I wanted it to be a great off-road heavy-duty truck.
Right.
So we actually got two sets of heavy-duty leaf springs from Carly. One for heavier weight of the camper,
right,
and one for the lighter weight of no camper.
Right.
But sometimes, I mean, it's hard to swap springs. You know what I'm saying? It's not something you do in your driveway
over an hour. It's not what you lay on your back and use a couple of jack stands on.
This truck weighs, you know, 7,000 pounds.
Yes.
So it's not super easy. But I think the best moment of this F-250 V8, actually two best moments, we did a series comparing it to the Chevy Trail Boss and also our Jeep.
Yep.
Because we had one of each kind of classifications of truck. And we drove over, it wasn't Red Cone, it was Pintop? No, what's that trail?
All right.
It was near Buena Vista. And I crested the summit of this mountain, and there were people in side-by-sides with their jaws open. And I was like, I was wondering, why are they looking at me? And I pulled up to some of these folks, and they're like, you brought this massive truck here? They couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
They couldn't believe that this ginormous crew cab on 37s, because the trail is kind of tight, right?
They
couldn't believe it made it up there.
I think that the way the truck looked and its general performance was quite good.
Tin cup,
that's it, yeah.
I'm sorry.
No, that's all right.
Yeah.
Okay, but I think that we proved that these types of modifications makes for an extremely inefficient truck.
Yes.
It really did affect towing.
Oh, yes. Although we did put it on the Ike several times.
Yes, we did.
Even after these mods.
Yes, we did.
So, and that engine proved to be great.
The engine's really good.
But efficiency, yeah.
But it also proved an important point to us.
Yes.
So that is that when we go and do major modifications to a truck, a brand new one especially, then a lot of the a lot of the information that we're getting from the Ike gauntlets and our road trips and everything else are not as consequential to you guys as they would be if we were doing it with an unmolested truck, one that has no modifications on it. So that's one of the catches there. We want to build these trucks so we can build an off-roader or build something that's better for something. But at the minute we do that, then a lot of the information that we've collected on it is no longer relevant. So that can be an issue as well. I mean, wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, because we like to do drag racing, towing, like you said, do a lot of comparisons.
Yep.
And as soon as you lift the truck, it's no longer stock.
Yeah.
So a lot of that data kind of goes out the window.
Exactly. And a lot of the stuff that you guys are waiting for, many of you watch TFL Truck to watch the Ike Gauntlet and other things so you can look at those numbers and gauge whether or not you want to buy a truck or if you bought a truck, whether or not you did something right, you know, all these things. So that is one of the issues that we learned about this particular truck.
So, and now the 2023 Super Duties are out.
Mm-hmm.
They're calling them all new, and I've dug into it.
Yes, you did.
And It appears to be all new except maybe the frame has mostly been unchanged. And I would say, because we get this question a lot, which heavy-duty truck should I buy, diesel or gas? Mm-hmm. And I would say gas is a lot more a viable option now since the 7.3 is out. Now they have a 6.8,
yes,
which is kind of related to this engine. So they have more options, more affordable options in their
It is a lot cheaper to buy and run a gas, a heavy-duty truck.
Yeah.
It's really when it gets to capacity and longevity that you start thinking about diesel.
Yeah, and I think long-distance towing, too.
So
if you're buying a heavy-duty truck because you need to go long distances or towing most days of the week, I think diesel makes a lot of sense.
Exactly.
Because you're working that diesel. The diesel engine likes to be warm. Mm-hmm. It likes to be working, and that's how it gets more efficient.
Yes.
If you don't do those things, if you're using it to commute to work,
and or, maybe on a weekend tow vehicle or whatever, then maybe a gas one would make more sense, and it certainly will be a lot less expensive.
Yeah, you could save $10,000 at least that diesel.
But that once again, that's some of the lessons we learned from our Super Duty Raptor, whatever you want to call it, thing. but from this particular truck, it really did teach us a lot of lessons.
Yeah. So and then we sold it, and actually we had a report on this podcast show. So if you look back, I interviewed the next owner of this truck, and he continued to, go off-roading and overlanding, and he put a different camping solution on top of this truck.
Right.
So this truck had another life.
Yes.
And still has a life.
Same with the Jeep, though. The Jeep.
Yes.
Yeah, that Gladiator had another life with a nice young couple.
Something. Yeah.
I think so. And they were a very nice young couple who went and bought that. It was really cool.
It's really great where, a lot of these trucks we sell and we learn what they're doing after the fact. So. Well, I think we need to switch gears to the next one on our list, which is the 2021 Ram TRX.
I think that many of you will agree this was one of the most popular vehicles we had.
Yes. And we also had it for about a year and a half, which is longer than most.
Usually we average about a year, say 9 months to a year, I think. Mm-hmm. And this one was a lot longer for a lot of reasons.
Yeah, because you guys kept wanting videos.
That was one of
them. This truck, yeah. Because as soon as you guys stop watching videos of a truck, we tend to sell it, right?
Right. Once it's just no longer favorable, once you guys are no longer really, interested, we could tell by the numbers, whether or not you guys are actually interested in watching videos with it, then, we'll eventually go, it's time to move it on. And we tend to roll that profit, if there is even a profit, into another truck to replace it, which is why we do what we do. But this truck was really special from day one. For one thing, Roman went out New Year's Day?
On December 31st.
No, sir. December 31st.
Yes.
To be the first to pick one up. And we were. Despite whatever you see on the internet, we were the first. He went.
Because he talked to the factory manager. He talked to the dealership that was right next to the factory.
Right.
And he put out a video that afternoon.
Yep.
From Michigan.
Actually went out there and physically grabbed it and drove it home.
Which was super impressive. So, of course, that was really important to us, once again, to be first.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, also thanks to Ram. I mean, a lot of the stuff that we do here wouldn't be possible, first of all, because of you guys listening and view and watching. But also the manufacturers sometimes help us out, not with the purchase price.
No.
But they help us with understanding when the trucks are coming and how to get the first trucks.
Who to talk to, where to talk to them, perhaps where to find the, there's a variety of different things they help with, logistics and whatnot. So it is helpful. And that gives us the opportunity to get these vehicles so we can present them to you guys as soon as possible.
And it's not, keep in mind, no vehicle can be delivered from the factory directly.
No.
Other than some electric manufacturers and also maybe Corvettes.
Mm.
The Corvette has the factory delivery program in Kentucky. But that's why he flew to Michigan, because that dealership was right next door to the factory.
Right. He was able to go right over there and get it. He actually talked to some of the factory guys and some of the Ram guys too. So, yeah, that whole thing was a success. Actually, in many ways, this is an extremely successful truck for us as well. Why? Because not only did we manage to get this thing early and it proved to be an absolute beast, but because we did a whole series of drag races with it where we brought in any vehicle that anybody else had, car or truck, to race against it, and it kept spanking everybody for
pretty
a long time.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
It's all-wheel drive. It's got 702 horsepower. It's big and mean.
It hooks up and it goes. And it was a hugely popular vehicle for us on more than one channel. So, yeah, the TRX, wonderful vehicle, still one of my favorites. It's not because I'm just a Ram fanboy, because I really do like our new Raptor R, and I think I'm beginning to like it even more than this. But boy, did that thing have personality. It was just an angry truck, and just seethed, and it wanted just to do bad things to, you know, gas stations nearby.
Yeah, totally. And we weren't easy on it.
No.
You mentioned drag racing.
Oh, yeah.
Lots. I mean, at least a dozen or maybe two dozen drag races.
But we also off-roaded with it, like really off-roaded with it, and we towed with it.
Yes. And we also did launches. This was, like, I guess, my idea, with trailers. Yeah. So we do a series of videos or 0 to 60s, right?
Yep.
Which is different from drag racing because we want to know how these trucks perform 0 to 60, especially performance trucks like this. But then also we hook up a trailer to it. Mm-hmm. And this image, if you're watching, TRX is hooked up to this Black Series tandem axle, very large slab-sided camping trailer.
Right.
And that truck launched so hard with that trailer. It was like a 9-second run to 60.
And that trailer,
I was shocked.
Aside from being a heavy trailer, there's a lot of drag, aerodynamic drag, wheel drag, and all that from this thing. It's just not built to move quickly. So the TRX is just like, no, I'm taking you with me now. And it just tore it through the universe. It was amazing.
And I was afraid, you know, the transmission would explode or the engine would overheat.
No.
None of that happened.
No. We had no problems with that truck.
No. And we did oil analysis. We did oil changes, maintenance. So really, I mean, this truck is more valuable now. I mean, remember when it started at $72,000?
Yeah, and we bought ours at $77,000, I
yes,
think.
With a couple of options.
Mm-hmm.
Once
and
again,
back then, that was like, oh my God, that is so much money.
Well, that was the most expensive truck we ever purchased.
At the time.
At the time.
Yeah.
And boy, have we increased that lately. But
add 20 grand.
But now they start at $85,000, and most of them are at $95,000. So the prices of the TRXs is really
just
have gone
really
through
gone
the
through the roof. But they're still wonderful trucks and just such a fun, ridiculous, unnecessary vehicle that is still just a hoot to drive.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yes, and following up on this, we were fortunate enough to basically own every generation of the Raptor.
Yes.
So we mentioned 2014. I also wanted to briefly mention our 2020 F-150 Raptor that we picked up basically during COVID.
Yep.
And this this truck had the latest suspension, you know, the Fox Life shocks. Not the latest iteration of those shocks, but the previous one.
Yeah.
And once again, so here's the thing about these performance trucks. Yes, they're expensive. Yes, they're, you know, really fun and high performance. But I think they're also built really solidly.
Yeah, I think they're overbuilt.
And that's the point, right?
Yeah, exactly.
The first gen Raptor. Remember, we put 55,000 miles on the first gen Raptor.
And we towed with it cross country twice.
Yes. And we had like minor warranty concerns. Like I think the motor on the steering column adjuster went out.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. And also the wiring for the trailer had a problem once. Mm-hmm. But still, these trucks are super reliable.
For the most part, they are just a really solid build. And they tend to, you know, you look at a factory line and you're going to see an F-150 next to a Raptor more often than not. Sure. But in many cases, a lot of the components that are built for the Raptor, especially like the suspension, they're overbuilt for serious abuse. So if you're someone who's not going to abuse it all the time, it should last for a very long time.
And we're not really talking about launching trucks through the air over sand dunes because those are special use cases that probably should be left to fully caged, you know, very
properly equipped trucks,
racing vehicles, right? Because you're probably mentioning, oh, remember when somebody launched the Raptor and bent it in half?
Or TRX and
airbags went off or something. We're not talking about those things.
We're not that stupid.
because these are valuable assets. You know, we can't just launch them into off a cliff.
Yeah, and if you want to watch destruction porn, there's plenty of it on the internet out there. Go ahead. But in our case, we like to drive the truck as it's intended. And yeah, we might go a little bit crazy and maybe get a little bit of air from time to time, which we've done on some of these trucks. But we're not going to go to that level and create an undrivable vehicle because of one stupid stunt.
And by the way, the TRX we left alone, no mods.
No zero. Mods, yeah.
This Raptor 2020, F-150 Raptor, no mods.
Yeah.
We put a topper on this Raptor. It was a soft topper.
Oh, I remember. That got mixed reviews.
Yeah, yeah.
Some of you guys hated it.
A lot of you hated it because you guys felt like it didn't match the character of the truck.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of liked it because it had a military feeling to it, you know, kind of a military, kind of a mean look.
Mm.
But everybody has their own opinion, right?
They do. Just half of you are wrong, that's all. I didn't say which half.
This was the EcoBoost, of course. Mm-hmm. This Raptor was a 3.5 high output, 3.5 liter V6.
It was actually, and it drove great. It was, and it had a much lighter character to it when it was off-roading compared to the TRX. The TRX really felt like it was just kind of slamming its fist into the ground out of anger, whereas the Raptor, at least this one, really felt like it was a much more delicate vehicle off-road in terms of its capability. So it was much more precise in terms of aiming it and making it do things, and it was much more of a rally car, all of which are compliments. It was a great truck.
And even to this day, if you wanted to, for example, purchase one of these trucks, drive them for a couple of years and sell them, they keep their value really, really
well. They do
indeed. Even to this day. Mm-hmm. Even the first-gen Raptors, specifically V8. Of course, they had the V8s.
Yeah, especially the bigger displacement one.
Yeah, the 6.2.
Mm-hmm.
And these Raptors, the second-gens, are also holding their value to some extent. So they're, I wouldn't say they're investments, but they're not losers of value.
As long as you don't add too much crap to them. The minute you start going crazy with the aftermarket components,
lift, big tires,
you can actually lose value on that truck for trading or moving on. Let's move on to the next one, speaking of that.
Yeah, so I wanted to bring this one in because it wasn't purchased by TFL, but it was a long-term vehicle that we had.
Ah, yes.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Yes, I do. But I think that bringing this one up, it was technically purchased by TFL for $1. So we had a special agreement with Hyundai.
Well, it has to do with insurance, right?
Yes, that's correct.
And
so instead of them giving us a long-term vehicle under their name with their insurance and everything else, they sell it to us temporarily. We keep the vehicle. We put it under our insurance. It's our vehicle. We kept this one for over a year.
Yeah.
I think it was a great idea to do. Yes, of course, we wanted to do it with the Ford Maverick as well. We didn't have the opportunity, though, but we did have the opportunity with this. And it was enough of a case, for me at least, to have this thing around to go, maybe I'll buy one of these, just a slightly different model.
And you did. We're talking about the Hyundai Santa Cruz. Mm-hmm. This is the 2022 model, so the original one.
Yes.
We were not the first. It was difficult to be the first with this one.
Yes.
Because, first of all, this one and also the Maverick were just super hot.
Right out of the box, man. They were selling. And it's funny. Some of you people out there are like, yeah, Hyundai's not selling any of these things. You know, they're selling every single one they're making.
Yes.
They just have a much, much lower production schedule than the Maverick. The Maverick is, three times the amount. But Hyundai these are very popular, and they're selling them left and right.
And they're updating them. Mm-hmm. I just recently saw a story that they're adding the XRT version of it, which is a little bit more beefy.
Yep.
So they're expanding it. They're not shrinking this down.
No.
So.
And we are expecting at some point in time that Hyundai will announce new or additional powertrains. I don't think it's going to be more than a year before that, but I've been wrong before.
Yeah, so they currently have the regular 2.5 liter and also a turbocharged 2.5 liter.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't have the hybrids. I think you're referring to the hybrid versions.
Hybrid and the plug-in hybrids, which they do not have yet, but they do have the powertrains in existence in their other vehicles. And so logic dictates that eventually those powertrains will work their way over to this.
And also, by the way, we have returned this truck already.
Yeah, a couple months ago.
To Hyundai. We really used it as a runabout. It's not a very big truck, right?
No.
We didn't have a hitch on it.
That's the only part that really irritated me.
Yeah, I really was kind of upset about that. But we didn't want to make a lot of modifications. Once again, it was a temporary long-term loan. Mm-hmm. But dude, we put a lot of miles on this.
We did, and it had one issue that was a returning issue, but was finally taken care of.
Yeah, you're talking about transmission tuning, aren't
Bingo.
You?
Yeah. Yeah, now fortunately, all of this could be fixed through software. And it took a little bit of time. The dual clutch transmission in these vehicles, I know you guys have talked about it before, they are a little troublesome. But after two tries, finally, after the third try, Hyundai was able to do a proper patch that made the vehicle run quite well.
And this is the turbocharged version.
Right.
You did not get the turbocharged version.
Specifically because
And how's your transmission behaving?
It's been perfect.
It doesn't
shift the best. There's every once in a like a second to third. Sometimes it does a weird thing where it'll kind of rev kind of high. And so it feels like it's not shifting quite right. But it's only every once in a while. But in terms of its overall character and driving character, less horsepower by almost 100 horsepower. But it gets decent mileage. I'm averaging between 25 and 26. And it gets it does its job with that transmission just fine. And it's fantastic in snow.
And I think that's where the, in my opinion, the meat of this segment is.
Mm-hmm.
It's not in the turbocharged powertrains. Like the Maverick also has a turbocharged version.
Yeah.
Right? It's more in the affordable sector, basic engines, basic transmissions. Because you want a small truck, to be affordable. I know
yes.
the Santa Cruz is a little bit more luxurious.
It is, and it's a little bit more car-like than the Maverick is a little bit more truck-like. And the Maverick is a great vehicle, and I really came close to buying one. But if they had an all-wheel drive version of the hybrid, I would have been on it.
And they still
right
don't.
Now.
And they still don't.
Not yet.
So that's where it's at. The one we had the transmission issue. Mm-hmm. That was resolved. But other than that, it was a great runabout. I took it on vacation to the mountains mm-hmm. once and put my entire family and our skiing equipment all in the same truck.
Yeah.
And it was great.
Yeah.
So let's move on.
Yes.
I wanted to bring up with this point just really briefly that we've also purchased several used vehicles over the last 3 years.
Quite a few.
Yes. And many of them were pickups.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to discuss all of them.
Well, there's a lot to discuss if we did. There would be about a half dozen that I can think of right off the top of my head.
Yeah. And, for example, 1994 Mazda B4000
mm-hmm.
was part of our cheap truck series.
The Ram that we had, the Dodge Ram.
Yep. With Sport V8.
Yeah, the Chevy Silverado.
K1500.
Right.
And even the F-150, the stinky one,
the stinky
remember?
F-150.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, just those alone. But we did those for various shoots that were specific to the shoot, whereas in these other vehicles are long-term ones that we keep for a variety of different shoots, and they're studio trucks. So they'll go along as support vehicles, or they'll help carry stuff, or they'll go to the ranch. These other ones that we were referring to, we bought specifically for series, which was No Payment Needed series.
Mm-hmm.
To hell and back, and then the other one was...
For a few bucks less,
yep. Which is still one of my favorites. That was a great video series we put together with that, and it was pretty popular, too.
Yeah, and we'll be doing more of that, of course, because...
In the very near future.
Many of you have said, well, we can't think about 70,000-plus trucks.
We can't even think about $7,000-plus. We get it.
Yeah, so that's why we're doing some of these more affordable series. We will continue to. We've also had two long-term Nissan pickups... But longer than 3 years ago.
Yes, yes. Going a little bit further back, we had... So before the Nissan Frontier got rid of their King Cab rear drive four-cylinder.
And little four-cylinder, yeah.
Right. We had one. So it was manual, basic model, as basic as it can get. I think maybe it had one option like air conditioning.
It was the most affordable one I think you could even buy.
Yeah. But this is going now 5 years back, isn't it?
Yeah, but I did want to mention it because you might be saying, well, where's Nissan? Why aren't you talking about Nissan? Well,
right.
We are talking about Nissan.
And then we did several, we had that for a year, and we drove the hell out of that poor little thing. And then, not too far after or before, around that time, but not at the same time, we also had the second generation Nissan Titan, and it was a yellow one. That had the 7-speed automatic transmission in it. And we drove the hell out of that one as well. You used it on some vacation stuff.
Yeah, I towed my boat from Denver to New Mexico and back.
Right.
With it.
And I used it when we went on that camping trip with a bunch of our families and all that,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I towed with it. And we drove it, and it was an excellent truck. It had a couple issues. I really think that 7-speed, I'm glad they got rid of it. But it was a really good truck. It was a solid truck. And it surprised us more often than not at the drag strip and off-road.
Yeah, and both you and I love still to this day the sound of that V8 in Nissan.
5.6 liter V8 that Nissan builds is fantastic.
But the transmission was hunting gears.
That was
it wasn't like it was undrivable. I mean, it wasn't like we had maintenance problems with it.
No.
But it was just hunting gears, and it wasn't very efficient.
No, it wasn't efficient. And that was really what it broke down to, because then you had other vehicles that had larger displacement powertrains with more power that were getting better mileage. And for us, we're like, oh, God, you know, they've got to find a way to fix this. They were so close to making it right off the bat. It's just a shame that they didn't quite manage. But let's move on, because we mentioned Nissan. We got to mention Toyota, of course.
Yeah, and we have owned one.
We have owned one.
Well, multiple. I mean, we had the Tacoma as well.
We did have a Tacoma.
But that was a 2002 model Baby Yoda.
Yeah, and Baby Yoda was a very different type of little creature there. Baby Yoda was essentially a project truck that we built to sell off for charity, and we made it into a theme off-road truck. It looked fantastic, had no power, and it was a great truck. But then we also had the brand new 2022 Toyota Tundra, and we knew we needed to get this truck. And by we, I mean Andre. You jumped through some serious hoops to get that truck.
Yeah, Roman flew to Michigan to get the TRX. I flew to Texas to get the Tundra.
Yeah, so, and how long did it take you to drive back from Houston all the way back to Boulder?
Well, I think I slept in the hotel for like 4 hours.
Yeah, exactly.
And then I drove.
You just drove like a maniac by yourself.
Well, yeah, it was also during like late December.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why all these trucks come out in December, but they do. and like my wife's work holiday party was like that night where I had to be there. So I drove directly from Houston directly to my wife's party.
If you guys think that for even a minute that any of our wives at TFL will put up with our idiocy for a minute when it comes to our private lives, answer is absolutely not. So Andre had to be there for that event. There are events that I've had to be there for. There are events Roman's had to be there for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're fortunate to have wonderful
spouses. We have wonderful spouses, but we don't want to piss them off.
Yes.
So let's continue.
Not anymore. No. So we were not the first, but probably one of the first.
We were
the
early time, right? on.
And probably publicly first, mm-hmm. potentially. But we had to have this, right? They switched from the traditional V8 Tundra to this twin turbocharged.
It's an all new Tundra.
All new vehicle, new frame, everything new.
Yeah.
And we wanted, you know, as off-roady model as possible. So we chose a TRD off-road model. Of course, we couldn't wait for the Pro. The Pro came later.
Months later.
Yeah. This was December. The Pro came in like March or April.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. It was months. And even then, we probably couldn't get one until probably a month after that.
Yeah, and it was more expensive. So why, you know, do this? So we chose a little bit more basic truck, but it still had the twin turbocharged V6, of course, and a few more options, and a new interior, right? That was a big deal.
Now, I got to be honest with you, I was a little underwhelmed with a lot of this truck. I loved the previous Tundra. I loved it. But this one, there were a couple things that rubbed me the wrong way. I wasn't into its aesthetics, but that's you know, a personal thing. But it wasn't, its internals didn't really give me the fizz that I was expecting to get. However, on the other side of it, that twin turbocharged V6 behaves a lot like a diesel, which is a good thing in terms of towing. The behavior of that powertrain is fantastic.
And it's also one of the quietest interiors we've experienced. It's
extremely quiet.
So very refined interior. I'm kind of with you that I think the problem for me when this first 2022 new Tundra came out, my expectations were built up over the years super, super high, because we were kind of waiting for this. The older Tundra was like long in the tooth.
Way long in the tooth.
And my mind was, you know how it goes sometimes.
Yeah.
And I wanted removable bed sides. I wanted I don't know, a Lego truck, like a Lego brick, you know.
Something super, super utilitarian that would just absolutely outdo everybody else. Toyota's so good at trucks, and they have such a history with trucks, that we were expecting all the innovation that they put into the Tacoma in the past to go into the Tundra, and then some. And it didn't quite pan out that way.
But not to downplay what they did. I mean, they did a lot.
Exactly, which is my point of saying that powertrain is remarkable.
Yes.
It's excellent.
And the 10-speed automatic that they put behind it. And then,
which is in-house. It's not something that they doled out.
Yes. And then the hybrid that came later was also super, super smooth. Mm-hmm. I have a bone to pick with the Tundra hybrid. Mm-hmm. When you say Toyota hybrid, usually you have images of efficiency
in
your mind. That's not the case with the Tundra.
No, it's for power.
Yes, it's for power and maximum towing. And it has like 583 pound-feet of torque.
It's not bad.
In their hybrid. So, and I think also they should put out two hybrids. That's mm-hmm. my recommendation.
I see where you're going with this.
You see what I'm saying? Yeah. So you would have a power hybrid, which they call iForce Max, right? That's their powerful version of electrification in their pickup. But they should create another one for efficiency, I would say.
iForce Minimax.
iForce Eco.
Okay, there you go. Eco. Why not? Everybody else does it. That's not a bad idea, actually.
Because a lot of people value efficiency. And if you know, if you really wanted a super torquey, high towing vehicle, you might step up to a heavy duty truck.
Right.
Right.
Well, here's the crazy part. General Motors builds what we know as an outstanding straight six diesel.
Yes.
It's more efficient than this.
Yes, by far.
And it still tows on par with it.
Yes. Maybe not certain options of it.
Exactly. So, but my point is that if you're building a hybrid, can't you get to that point to where you're competitive with the diesel?
But also, there F-150 hybrid exists.
Yes.
And I owned one.
Yes, you did.
And we're not going to discuss what I owned, but the F-150 hybrid is more efficient than the Tundra hybrid.
Exactly.
So I think those are the points where the Tundra kind of fell short on.
Yeah.
But I think they're continuing to improve it. And when you look at the brand new, all new Tacoma that's coming later this year.
That thing really is just freaking me out.
It seemed like Toyota maybe listened to a lot of us. Uh-huh. And they're throwing the kitchen sink, or at least part of the kitchen sink.
They better. I mean, they are the biggest Tacoma in the segment with that truck. But there's still room for improvement with the Tundra. I'm not saying it's a bad truck. There are no bad pickup trucks right now, full size especially. But at the same time, I do agree with you, Andre. I think that they should have made a more efficient version of it as well as an option. So moving on. We had what is one of my favorite. Now, is this the ZR2 you're bringing up?
Yep, I am.
Okay. So this is the Chevy Silverado ZR2 with Andre doing an awesome pose for those of you who are not able to see it.
Oh, God.
Next to the truck. We love these poses. We have to do these in order for you guys to click on the videos, otherwise, we wouldn't do them.
It's called YouTube Face.
YouTube Face, which I can't stand. But yeah. Anyway, so this is right after it came out, the Chevy Silverado ZR2, the most capable Chevrolet off-road pickup truck in its class.
Yes, and it had a big promise, right?
Oh, yeah.
Because I think all of us, and you probably will agree, we wanted a Raptor fighter from General Motors.
Absolutely.
We know they're capable of this.
Yes.
To some extent, their Hummer EV that we'll talk about next is a Raptor fighter in a way, because it does have a fancy suspension. But anyway, the ZR2 version of the Silverado 1500 that we purchased, and we were one of the first ones to do it also, had that big promise. It wasn't super delivered on because it doesn't have the wide body suspension.
No.
It doesn't have, you know, the big, hugest tires you can put on it.
Most importantly, it doesn't have the crazy powerful engine.
Or the supercharger.
Right.
It doesn't have those things.
Or turbocharger, for that matter.
No.
Nothing like that. It's a naturally aspirated 6.2 liter V8.
But I think, you know, both you and I really enjoyed this truck. There was one thing that was missing.
Hmm.
When I went to the event, you know, they have launch events, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
First drives. They had an optional performance exhaust system behind this truck,
right,
on the ZR2, and when you fire it up, it kind of sounded like the TRX waking up.
Yeah,
you
know, a little angry.
It would bark.
Yeah,
when it wakes up.
What do you want?
And the stock system on the ZR2 didn't do that.
I agree.
And I think that was where it fell short.
Well, considering how much extra you're paying for the truck, I agree.
You're buying a special truck, and at the very least, at least put on a, you know, a standard kind of beefy sounding exhaust. I know some of you guys are like, well, I don't want to hear the exhaust. Okay, fine. You know,
don't buy a ZR2.
Or maybe there's something else you can buy in terms of a powertrain that will make you happier. But in this case, the problem I think that General Motors came up with is this is a very expensive pickup truck, and it is up there pretty close to some of the pricing for the regular Raptor.
Right? Yeah, it was getting close into the mid $70,000 range.
Right, and suddenly you're thinking, well, wait a minute, the Raptor is faster, much better on loose dirt, and it is. It's a dunes truck, really. But this is something that you want to buy if you're going to go over a variety of different terrain.
Dual lockers, my friend.
Front and rear lockers, yeah. And really good suspension. Some of the best. I still think that the DSSV spool valve suspension system that they developed is absolutely fantastic. You don't have to play with any buttons or any presets or anything like that. It does it all on its own. Very capable. However, at the end of the day, it is a bit of a pissing contest. And everybody else is like, well, my TRX puts out over 700 horsepower. Well, so does my Raptor R. What about that ZR2? It's just not
420.
420, yeah, sorry.
Or they could have at least given it like 450 horsepower.
Something boost to give you a little extra, yeah, you know, meat in there. You know, change the way the algorithm goes in terms of acceleration. I don't know. Do something to give that vehicle a little bit of an edge power-wise.
But I agree with you. The suspension is super special.
That's fantastic.
So the spool valve, DSSV, Multimatics, they're not, I would say, the Cadillac-y off-road suspension that you might be used to in some other vehicles.
Yeah, they're not super squish.
It has precision.
Yes.
And that's what a lot of people like. Mm-hmm. Precision where you can feel connected to the dirt or pavement.
Or any surface.
Yeah.
Any surface.
And then, you know, our marketing director, Grant, mm-hmm, him and I went out in the ZR2 at the ranch, Tumbleweed Ranch. And I was like, he asked me, well, Andre, what is the special about ZR2? Why should I consider it if I'm a buyer? And I'm like, Grant, you see that little washout? You know, that little creek that runs in the middle of our field?
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm going to accelerate through it. He's like, what? I'm like, yeah, I am. So I went over that kind of washed out area at speed, like 30, 35 miles an hour, and it wasn't the big event.
No.
If you do that in any other vehicle, you would really feel that. It would really punch you. That's why you buy a ZR2, because those shocks are resilient, they take a hit, and it keeps going.
And you have front and rear lockers. Which
so
is
you can
huge
crawl over most things.
Yeah, it really it can go over obstacles that the Raptor and the TRX couldn't, because
it's narrower.
That's my point.
Yes,
exactly. So there's no penalty for having all that extra beef, but at the same time, a lot of us question whether or not General Motors should have added a more robust powertrain to it. And that's kind of what all falls down to.
So there you have it. And I see a lot of ZR2s, actually. So I think it's a very successful vehicle.
I'm sure it is. And they were smart to do that.
So let's move on, because now we're switching gears completely.
Yes.
Or gear. Single gear.
Ah.
So
we're talking about my Albatross.
So we're making a foray into electricity.
Speaking of General Motors.
So, our first...
Are we going to Ford first?
No, Ford, yes.
Okay.
So this is the truck we bought first. This was our first all-electric F-150 Lightning.
Yeah, it was our first electric pickup truck.
Yeah.
And for the record, I'm going to go directly on and say Ford did a remarkable job building this truck in a record amount of time and getting it out there to the people. I'm not happy with what Ford's done with price hiking. I know it has to do with supply and demand and other things, but in terms of what they did in such a short amount of time with this truck, and it's an excellent package. Yeah, it needs improvement here and there. I certainly think it should be, you know, charged faster, among other things. But they still managed to build a functional, daily driving, all-electric pickup truck with standard all-wheel drive, four-wheel independent suspension, and range for over 200 miles, depending on which one you can get, nearly 300 miles up to.
Well, we've actually tested several Lightnings, you and I. But we owned a little bit more fancier one because, mm-hmm, once again, we wanted to be first.
Yes.
It was super important to us. So it was a Lariat long range, mm-hmm, right? So long range versions of the Lightning has up to, 320 miles. We never saw over 300 miles, though.
Especially once we put larger tires on there. No, we totally blew that.
But also, we took it to Alaska as a team. And this was an insanely huge endeavor.
Yeah, it's called Northern Lightning. You can go to altfl.com and find it. And it was a series we put together where the guys made sure that this vehicle went from Colorado all the way up to Prudhoe Bay in Alaska, the northernmost point in North America. And the truck did it, and it did it in some very difficult and challenging environments.
Mainly the charging environments.
Yeah.
Because it's difficult to charge the truck in the middle of nowhere.
Well, Alaska, the entire state of Alaska is pretty rural, and it's just not really set up for an electric grid for charging trucks and cars.
Yep. Yeah. So a couple of things I want to say. You mentioned how quickly Ford brought this to market. Yeah. I think it's important.
Yes.
Because there was a race, right? First, the Rivian was announced years back, mm-hmm. right? And they said, we're coming with a pickup truck, which is going to be electric.
Cybertruck.
And then Elon Musk stood up there on the stage and introduced us to the Cybertruck. That's still not on sale.
Still not there.
And Elon showed a Cybertruck doing a tug of war with an F-150 and dragging it across the screen.
Which many of you guys were not pleased about.
And I think he poked a bear. And by the bear, I mean the F-Series, you know, Ford.
The best-selling vehicle in the country.
So what did Ford do? Well, they came out with a truck that's on sale.
In no time flat.
Within 2 years, they had one. And yes, it's not perfect, but it's also a great first electric truck,
it
I think.
It absolutely is a home run for a first event, for a first attempt.
Yes.
It's an F-150. Everything about it is F-150 on the inside, so you can just hop in it and drive just like a regular F-150. It handles quite well. Daily driving, it's extremely quiet.
It's fast.
Yeah. And I know someone who owns one who got the one step above the base model. What is that? The
XLT?
It would be the XLT, that's right.
Because the Pro, there is a base Pro.
He wasn't able to get that because the base Pro, you have to be able to be in a fleet. Anyway, and he still has it. He's got like a 75,000 miles on it now. And he just drives the hell out of it and loves it to death. But he acknowledges that he finds the biggest shortcoming is its slow charging rate.
Yeah, that's not ideal, as we found out.
Yes.
We did have a four-wheel camper Project M topper, a camping topper on top of our Lightning. We had beefier all-terrain tires, the trail terrain tires from BFG.
Which performed brilliantly.
Even in Alaska and everywhere else.
Which normally you'd have at least one puncture.
So I want to bring up a comment from David Johnson.
Yes.
So David Johnson on Patreon wrote this comment. He says, concerning your EV posts and videos, I've heard it said on TFL that we're in the Model T stage of EVs. Mm. I would say, because this is a big moment in the industry.
It is.
He says, I'd say we're actually in the period before the Model T, when automobiles were pretty much limited to the well-off people. What we really need is a Model T of EVs, which would be practical but not fancy. Of course, we also need infrastructure for EVs that... but that was a problem in early automobiles as well.
Yep.
When gas stations were not on every corner in 1910.
He is correct.
Valid points.
Did you know that one of the largest charging networks in the country for one station to charge up vehicles existed about 100 years ago in Los Angeles? No, I'm not kidding.
No.
It was massive. It was this huge, huge station that could hold up to 100 vehicles that were charged.
And I think Manhattan was also on the forefront.
I think LA was bigger, but I'm not sure.
Well, yeah, I'm not saying about size, but about electricity and also having vehicles being electric.
Yeah. So to answer this, first of all, I wouldn't agree. It's difficult it's kind of apples and oranges. For one thing, there are some affordable electric vehicles out there. When I mean it's quasi-affordable, right?
Well, the Chevy Bolt.
We've proven that the Chevy Bolt is an affordable vehicle. It is the price of a mid-level hatchback, even though it's going away, which is a real shame. But there's still the Nissan Leaf, and there's still the Hyundai Kona, and some other ones out there. So you can get vehicles that are somewhat affordable, I'm going to say. However, the charging network, you're absolutely right about. We are primitive stages of charging networks. However, with what's recently happened with Tesla and all of these, and it's like raindrops are going to just hit more and more and more and more. More companies are going to be adopting Tesla's charging architecture, and you're going to see that happening, I think, throughout the entire industry in the United States in a very short amount of time. That will help everybody expand the networks, because you'll still see CCS out there. It'll still expand. Electrify America, all these other ones are still going to expand. There's lots of extra money that recently has gone into them. And yes, we will soon have more and more stations. So that will happen. The less expensive electric car, the biggest problem right now is that it's a question of the components that are needed to build these vehicles are not cheap. And in order for them to be cheap, you basically have to be living in China. I'm sorry, but that's the truth. Because you can get pretty capable, inexpensive electric vehicles out there for a lot less money, you know, if you were comparing.
Well, it has to do with a lot of things too. Some of it is where the minerals are mined.
Right.
And of course, there's a lot of regulations in the United States.
Government mandates and all that too that have to be met.
And also safety requirements.
Yep.
Right. So a lot of vehicles in some other countries don't require the amount of safety that we require.
Although you'd be surprised how many are pretty damn safe, even considered by, because Eurocap and some of the other ones mm-hmm. out there are actually other, you know, Chinese and Indian cars even are passing, in some cases with flying colors, some of those things. So they could, in theory, be sold here. However, once again, it's a very expensive endeavor to build an electric vehicle that's efficient. So it's, yes, very expensive to buy one. And so it is a domain of the rich to have a nice one. However, they do exist. There are inexpensive ones out there. And I think as time goes on, within the next few years, we'll see more affordable ones hitting the market that'll give you a little bit more range for the money, perhaps slightly faster charging for the money.
And also the used market is still there.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, it is.
We know this for electric vehicles.
Used market.
I mean, a lot of people are still kind of, you know, cautious about used electric cars, but it could be a big, you know, advantage for those of us who want to try new things, right?
A couple of years, almost 3 years ago now, I bought a Nissan Leaf, and I bought it for around $9,000, gave it to my kid, and she drove it for a few years, had no issues with it, so no maintenance cost or anything else, charged it at home. And this is one of the things people have to keep in mind. If you at least have the infrastructure at home and live in a place where you can plug in the vehicle, then you can use your house or your townhouse or whatever as your charging or gas station, right? You can fill it up there. And that's a different type of mindset, and that works. So for some people, that works out really well, but not for everybody. And then the second part is with this really inexpensive car that I had, owned it for a while, and before 3 years was up, I sold it off, and I only lost about $1,500 on it, and I spent almost no money on maintenance. So that's something to keep in mind over the short term. Yeah, the range wasn't great, but hell, it was a great just everyday driver for a kid.
Yeah, and so getting back to the Lightning, we had zero problems.
Yeah.
Because I was a little bit nervous. We had one of the first Lightnings.
Because it was like fresh out of the box.
Yeah, Roman and I flew to Michigan once again. So yeah. This is how important this was to us. And you know how first vehicles have glitches?
Mm-hmm.
You know, this and that.
Especially
software.
Something so advanced.
Zero.
No problems.
No problems. It was quite remarkable. And we put 13,000 miles approximately on it in 4 months. And a lot of it was driving to Alaska.
Right.
And back. So that was huge. So now let's get to another one.
As you're doing that, I wanted to, before we hop to this, so the Ford, the one flaw that it had in my book, not very good off-road. Built for off-roading.
It does have a four-wheel drive, all-wheel drive.
Yeah, system. But it's for light off-roading.
But no clearance, almost no clearance.
Yeah, ground clearance is poor, and it's heavy, and that can be an issue during. But light off-roading, going off-road into muck and stuff like that, it's fine. But the reason I mention that is because of what the next car is on this list.
Yeah.
Or truck, I should say.
Yeah, don't say car. No, so this one is the GMC Hummer EV. We did not have a reservation on this guy, but one of you guys, we've done it twice in mm-hmm. recent years. One of you guys said, you know, I don't want my reservation. Let's do something. So we were able to purchase this, transfer it, and also promote a charity, right?
Yep.
Using this. We also did that with a Ford Bronco.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a super truck. It was $113,000 to purchase.
Yeah.
This was Remember when I said when we said TRX was our most expensive at $77,000?
Yeah, this trumped it by a massive amount.
Yeah, this was huge. But we used the sale of the F-150 Lightning and the ZR2 and some other vehicles that we sold to actually be able to do this. And yeah, so massive ground clearance. Mm-hmm. 35s from the get-go, and mm-hmm. we put 37s on it later.
Yes, we did.
Four-wheel steering, yep. Adjustable height suspension.
Yep.
Huge interior, removable top.
Yep.
This is a super truck, but...
not reliable.
Yeah, immediately we're starting to run into issues. And a lot of them were solved with reboots. But yeah. Still, issues, problems.
They were technical issues, which shouldn't be on any vehicle, much less one that's over 100 grand. And there was another, there's an Achilles heel to this vehicle, which I think all of this kind of, well, not all of it, but a lot of it points to this one thing. It is remarkably heavy, over 9,000 pounds. And we're talking about a vehicle that lengthwise isn't very long. Yeah, it's wide. It's very wide. But it's not a very big vehicle per se. Yet when you're out there and you're going up and down through rocks and whatnot and taking this thing off-road, which is what it was supposed to be built for, and you have any issues, lugging around 9,000 pounds or getting 9,000 pounds off a rock that it's stuck on is not easy.
As we have shown.
Yes.
So you can check out oldtfl.com for several off-road videos that we've done, both in Colorado and in Utah, and a lot of our trips. We've had it, I don't remember exactly the miles we put on, but it was like 5,000 or 6,000 miles.
Yeah, we did some cross country with it. We definitely drove it back to Moab a few times.
Yeah, and by the way, the trip to Moab I've done with Roman, mm-hmm. And it was relatively simple. You might think going 350 miles in a truck with a range of 329 miles would be very, very difficult. But we drove from Denver to Grand Junction, had dinner while it was charging, which was plenty, drove once again from Grand Junction to Moab, went to sleep, plugged it in while we slept. It was plugged in at the hotel, off-roaded the next day, and went home. So it was actually reasonably doable, actually, in this truck.
But bear in mind that this vehicle is one of the fastest charging trucks or vehicles that you can buy in the United States. It's a super, super fast
350
charging.
350 kilowatt.
Potentially, level 3. Yeah. Is it always going to charge like that? No, absolutely not. And not in today's environment. However, it still will charge fast. And the battery's massive. It's one of the biggest ones out there, next to another truck that you recently tested. And that's one of the reasons why it's so bloody heavy. It's got a huge battery.
So they're still not selling a lot of these.
No.
65 Hummer EVs were sold in the first 6 months of 2023.
Wow.
Which is a very, very low number for a giant company
like General Motors. That's just...
So I think they're ramping up still, but whatever, you know, manufacturing problems they had or delays, it shows.
Just to finish this off, I feel like we were almost like beta testers for them. That we bought it so early on, and we drove it around, and a lot of the things that we showed them went wrong, including the thing drying on us completely.
And also, like, for example, it does have a front locker.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it would not be easy to engage.
Yes.
You know, those types of issues.
Well, it completely failed on Roman. Yeah. He had to drive it out of a very difficult off-road situation in rear drive only.
Yeah.
We were lucky it was able to do that. And one time it failed altogether, and we couldn't even get it off the street. And it's not light enough to be pulled onto a flatbed easily. So there are many issues. It's not quite ready for prime time, not when we bought it. Maybe now they've worked out some of the kinks, and maybe it's better. But, not my favorite amongst the vehicles we've had. Ironically, one of my favorites is a General Motors vehicle. It's just not that one.
Which one is it?
It should be on the list.
Did we already talk about it?
No, the other, the Trail Boss, isn't that on here?
Oh, that was, I didn't put it on this list because.
You didn't, did you?
Oh, because it was like older.
Andre.
It was older than 3
Shame.
Years.
Shame. So, yeah.
We also had a Trail Boss.
Yeah, we had a regular Trail Boss. I loved it. It was such a stout, reliable, decent truck. But anyway, speaking of stout.
I think one of our most successful builds.
This build was fantastic. The truck itself did a wonderful job accepting the build that we put onto it, and it was just a beast.
And we've learned a lot along the way.
Yeah, we have.
We're talking about our 2022 Ram 2500 Cummins turbo diesel. We are calling Trail Hound. I'm glad we chose that name. I think it's a cool name.
Mm-hmm.
We used many components using BDS suspension, lift, front and rear.
AEB components on the outside.
Oh, yes. And Fox shocks as well. And also Alu cab camping solution in the bed.
Yep.
A topper. And in the end, and we're kind of winding down this project right now. Sorry, I want to find more pictures of this
guy.
That's
okay.
So the suspension system wasn't quite as fancy as we've tried in the past mm-hmm. with other vehicles. And I think maybe that's a solution where you don't change the suspension quite as much as you would otherwise.
Yep.
We did put 37s on it. It does squat. So we introduced some squat into the system.
Yeah, we did get a little bit of butt squat out of it.
But now we'll be doing more videos with this truck because we removed the Alu cabin. So that's off. Now it's back to its pickup truck configuration. It's still on 37s. It still has a massive AEV bumper.
Just looks phenomenal. Good looking truck.
Yeah, and it looks much. I think, you know, what we need next is mud flaps because we're throwing a lot of mud onto our doors.
Yeah, who cares about that? All these guys run around with these tires that stick out like 6 inches past their fender, and who cares?
No. First of all, it's illegal. And second of all, it dirties the vehicle's handles and all this.
Trucks look better dirty.
Okay.
Trucks look better dirty.
Well, I agree, but,
all right.
I have to wash it every day.
So, and we're not allowed to get, like, suggestive mud flaps either, anything that's, like, considered politically incorrect either.
Right. So, check this truck out on all TFL. We went with David and Alex. We went down to Arizona. We did Devil's Highway with it, which was a huge, huge off-road trail.
Yeah, you guys did a hell of a job with that.
So super successful. We still have it. We haven't sold it. Another truck we did sell, and this was one of my favorites, I would say. I'm talking about the Ford.
Are you talking about the little? Oh, the Ranger.
Little tiny Ford.
Yeah, we just didn't quite have that one long enough in my book.
I know, but we're not CEOs.
That's here. The problem is that we just don't have the finances to hold on to these things for longer periods of time. I know some of you guys were like, well, why did you get rid of it so quickly? Well, we knew that a new Ford Ranger was coming. So we wanted this one so at least we could have like a base level, right? So we could have the yardstick to begin with. We knew how good it was. And now we have the new ones coming out
It's supposed to be like... Yeah, in a few months, actually. Yeah.
So we'll be able to take those based on the lessons we learned with this one and go from there. But we did manage to do a couple things to make it look a little sharper.
Yeah, we purchased a 2019 Ford Ranger, which is still kind of the same. Mm-hmm. The new generation, like you're saying, is coming in a few months. It has a turbocharged engine. Ours was a crew cab with a short bed, you know, 5-footer. And we put a sunset graphics on it, mm-hmm. which some people loved and some people hated.
Yeah.
But what I wanted to say to wrap up this truck is, first of all, comfortable to sit in. You know, the Gladiator we talked about earlier, it's kind of, you sit upright and a little bit close to the
dash. I will admit that the Ranger is more comfortable than the Gladiator, but I didn't think the Ranger was that. It was okay. In my book.
Okay.
It was okay.
Well, for me, it was comfortable. Mm-hmm. We towed heavyweights with it.
Yes.
And it does well.
It's a really good tow truck for its size.
Yes. And I think the turbocharger helps it because you have lower torque mm-hmm. and just lots of power, lots of usable power.
Yeah.
So, like you said, I wish we still had it. We don't have it anymore. Mm-hmm. We use the money from it to buy other stuff.
That is correct.
But part of it was the Ram Classic.
That's right. So one of the things we did, and I think that we can all agree that it was a very successful truck for us because we did a lot with it in a very short amount of time, was we got ourselves a Ram 1500, a brand new one, but the classic. And we wanted to buy the least expensive full-size truck that we could get with four-wheel drive. And that is a sort of kind of what we did with this Ram 1500.
Yeah, so they still built the previous generation Ram 1500 alongside the new generation.
Mm-hmm.
They call it the classic. We found that this was difficult to find.
Yeah, we had to go to another state.
Idaho this time.
Mm-hmm.
It's a two-door short bed, which is actually they discontinued.
Yeah.
Now you can only get a two-door long bed version of it. And we put even Tommy's Fiat Cinquecento in the back of it.
Which it didn't like very much. Frankly, that should have gone in a heavy-duty truck.
We should try that again.
We really should.
But this Ram 1500 actually recently sold as of this recording.
Mm-hmm.
And we put about 6,500 miles on it. You and I did many loops with it, MPG loops.
Testing a variety of different theories and whatnot. And we even added stickers to it, which apparently went over really well with some of you.
Yep, and then we removed the stickers as
well. Yes, we did.
And also, it has basic all-season tires. But we even had snow videos with it. And it
off-roading was actually, videos, too. Serious off-road videos.
Yeah, the boys took it to Moab, of all places.
The boys beat it up a little bit, too. Wow.
So it's been a solid truck. We didn't have it long enough, maybe 7 months.
Yeah.
But once again, we needed the funds to fund something else.
That is correct. So I think that brings us almost up to date.
Yeah, which is the current truck we do have is another super truck. That is the Raptor R.
Mm-hmm. Now, the Raptor R, we've been a little bit careful with. It's not something that we've done some boulder bashing with anytime recently. Although we have done some light off-roading with it, and I think we're going to do a little bit more. We've done a lot of drag racing with it.
And also towing.
And towing, yeah. Exactly.
It's actually the best rated Raptor of all time. It's rated to tow up to 8,700 pounds. So on the iGauntlet, we've towed with it several times. It does have an issue with squat.
Yeah.
So it does have soft suspension, has the latest Fox Live valve shocks, of course, and that supercharged V8 that we discussed already. So if I would put a negative on this truck, it may have to be the squat when you load it up.
Mm-hmm.
Because it does have 1,500 pounds of payload capacity, but when you put 1,500 pounds of stuff into it, you're kind of low-riding it.
Well,
basically.
Here's the crazy part. That little Santa Cruz that I own, it's the same amount of payload, and I have a self-leveling suspension in the rear to where it doesn't squat even with 1,000 pounds in it, whereas in the Raptor would be. But then again, we're totally different vehicles, and the Raptor's built for off-roading. I will say my only issue with it, I don't mind the squat. I expect it for an off-roader. My only issue is the fact that I don't think it looks special enough compared to a regular Raptor. Right?
Mm-hmm.
You're spending so much more money on the Raptor R. I really want it to be unique looking. I want a completely different front end. I want different fenders, something that really differentiates it between the regular Raptor and what mm-hmm. this one is. Mm-hmm. Because underneath the hood, man, that thing is dynamite. It is a fantastic driver, but I just want it to look a little bit more special, I guess.
I would agree with you. I mean, I know that's an R because it has a small R in the grill and orange tow hooks, but I'm a truck freak.
Right.
Right? A normal person just looking at the truck, walking by.
Just probably a Raptor, will never and they'd just be like, yeah. And there's
whatever.
Thousands of Raptors out there.
Yeah.
Who cares?
So, I would agree with you there. The engine is special.
Oh, it is.
It's hard to explain. It just revs really quickly.
It's such a race car.
In a truck body. Right. Exactly. I mean, this engine, you would think, doesn't belong there, but it does great.
And just driving it, just cruising around, it just absolutely has no problem sitting there, 1,800 RPM, blah, 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 blah. It's just absolutely, it's not as lethargic as the TRX engine was, which is a much larger displacement powertrain, very different types of places that they come from.
Yeah, the TRX revs like a truck would.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the revs
lower
build nicely.
RPM, right.
It's got lots of torque. It sounds amazing. It's fast. But the Raptor R takes it to the next level.
Yeah,
really.
It's really the sports car of pickup trucks.
Yeah.
In that respect.
And it does. It's very expensive, $110,000, this one. But I think as far as off-road, I would call them still, quote-unquote, super trucks.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I agree with that.
And ours we've had for about 3,500 miles. We have a video coming out very soon. Kind of a long-term update mm-hmm. where you can see what everything we've done with it. So check it out on altfl.com. But this truck, zero issues so far.
Yeah, really
it
solid.
Kinda, it kind of maintains that, you know, the TRX, the previous Raptor,
mm-hmm.
And even like the Trail Boss, you know, Chevy, just zero problems whatsoever. It kind of maintains that character.
Super built, well-built truck.
Period. On 37s.
There it is. Okay. Whew. Wow.
That was a long show.
Yeah, it was. A little longer than we anticipated, but we managed to get through them all. And I'm curious, out of the trucks we mentioned, which one was your favorite and why? Could you let us know in the comments below?
Yeah, please. We read all the comments and listen to you guys. Use Patreon, please. Patreon.com/TFLCar. We did not get to Mark Cooper's question for a reason. Mark, thank you for your comment.
We'll use that in another show.
But you are directing your comment to Roman.
Oh, that's
so we'll have to use Roman for this one.
I could pick being Roman.
Let's save this.
Next time I buy a chair, I'm going to tell you right now on a rant of mine that AMX...
Because I was making fun of his hands. I see. Yeah. So that's next time. Okay. So Mark, Roman will address your question.
Absolutely. Guys, we hope you have a great week. Don't forget to go to alltfl.com for all the information on all the stuff we do at TFL Studios.
Yeah, and hopefully this show kind of helps you out because, looking at this list... We've owned a lot of vehicles recently.
We certainly have. And we'd be happy to give you more detailed information about any truck that you're asking about in the near future. So we will see you next time.
Thank you.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.